Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 3 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is June 15th and we're a day out from the Federal Reserve meeting. So the bond market was exactly unchanged by the end of the day. And there's certainly a lot of positioning going on in other asset classes. So we can think about how bonds are positioned. We've had a bit of a rally in bond prices over the course of the last month and a little bit of easing over the last couple of days. So the yield is holding this 1.5% level. It's a range over the last 3 months. And this question about inflation and how long it's going to last, and are we getting the right kind of inflation, or is it the kind of inflation that central banks monitor, and whether that is going to translate into a greater perception that inflation is getting out of control. These are all big questions, and investors are waiting to see just which way the Federal Reserve is going to jump. Considering the fact that it was really only about 2 weeks ago that they said that they are going to start selling their position in the LQD and HYG to announce an additional tapering measure in such short order, I think would surprise markets. And it would suggest a significant ramping up of the determination to try and normalize policy. But then there's the additional point that the Federal Reserve has clearly said in plain English that they want to see inflation trend. And in order to see a trend, you need to see a breakout, and then the breakout has to hold. Then you need to see a consolidation of some sort, and then a breakout from that consolidation. In other words, to truly confirm that you have a trend, you need to wait, and you need time to expire, and you need lots of evidence. And we're just not there yet. We've only just had a breakout in inflationary measures, and even that hasn't been especially convincing. When we look at the bond markets, well, they're not expressing any real fear about inflationary measures. So we've had a little bit of a pause in the government bond yield, but the overall trend over the last 20 years is still down, and there is obviously the potential that inflation will get out of control, and there are certainly undeniable sources of inflationary pressures. We can think about the imposition of the IMO 2020 shipping regulations at the beginning of 2020. And shipping rates collapsed during the pandemic and are now recovering. So we're really just seeing that even if this were a normal year, we'd only be now beginning to see the full ramifications of the IMO 2020 emissions regulations. So there are fewer ships and there is more demand. So prices are rising, and this looks like a breakout. And there's not a lot anyone can really do about it. As long as there's more demand than there are ships, then there's very little to say that prices aren't going to go up from here. So when we look at shipping companies, well, they have similar conditions. They're beginning to break up and out of these ranges. And this is inflationary. There's just no way getting around the fact that the cost of shipping goods around the world is increasing, and it represents an additional cost. And I can certainly think about the costs of shipping for Mrs. Tracy's business. It's gone up nearly 200% in the last 18 months. And it's gone from a negligible cost to a cost pressure, because it's cutting into margins. So it's putting upward pressure on prices. And this is true for all manner of businesses. And then we, of course, have oil prices. And oil remains quite steady. And it was in positive territory again in here today, and up $1.25. So continuing to extend this breakout above the $70 area. And as long as OPEC are withholding supply from the market, which is in the order of about 8 million barrels a day, then we can continue to see higher prices overall. Eventually, this breakout and this continued strong environment is going to put or is going to encourage supply back into the market. So some of the OPEC members will break ranks, or there will be additional supply coming out of the shale region or the non-OPEC segment of the market. But this continues to look like a recovery, and this is a breakout. And we've had some resistance around the 75 area, both back in 2019 and then quite recently. And now prices are pushing back up towards the psychological $80 area. A lot of shale oil becomes economic around the $40 to $45 area. So there is obviously the potential here to lock in higher prices for upwards of a year or even 2 years and then just drill. So as the higher prices go, the greater the potential that there will be a supply response. Now, if that were the only thing that people were looking at, then obviously commodity prices would be a big factor in thinking about inflation, but it goes the other way as well. So copper was down in a dynamic manner today, and this is an inconsistency to what has been a really quite consistent trend. The only time we've had a downward dynamic like this was back at the beginning of October. We'd had a range and a breakout, and then the range had held the region of the upper side of that range of the previous underlying range and then broke down and traded into the underlying range, but it bounced the day after and then pushed on to new recovery highs. And we had a modest pullback and it did dip into the underlying range, but then it broke out. And since then, we've had very orderly ranges which have all held one above another. And now we're dipping down into this underlying range. So if copper bounces tomorrow, well, then we're still in a reasonably consistent environment, but it's a larger reaction overall. This is the largest reaction we've seen in at least a year. So it does raise the possibility that we're moving into a period of mean reversion. And of course, there is the additional point that the credit cycle in China has begun to roll over. And the Chinese authorities want lower copper prices, and they are releasing inventory from their state stockpiles. So that does increase the potential that we're going to have a somewhat deeper reaction, and it may unwind the overextension relative to the trend mean, which would be about another 10% pullback from where we are today. But then, when we look at this over the long term and we remind ourselves that the price has been ranging since 2006 with only a brief flurry above the $4 area, well, it would suggest that if this reaction is limited to a reversion to the mean, well, we might consider it to be a first step above the base, and that there is a secular bull market hypothesis. And the hurdles that are being put in place for the fossil fuel sector are non-trivial. And this is a global phenomenon, and we continue to see that there is upward pressure on carbon emissions in Europe. So European emission prices have been resurgent over the course of the last 12 months. There's also a very wide overextension relative to the trend mean here as well. Prices have moderated, but they're still very high. And it's public policy that they want the price up around 100. So that would suggest that there's also potential for additional upside here. And this also represents an additional cost. It's an additional source of inflationary pressures. When we think about copper, this the continued higher price and trending higher of the oil price, and then also the carbon emissions price and shipping prices, well, all of that is supportive of the bull market in copper because you have brand new use cases. So I think this isn't likely to be anything other than a reversion to the mean overall, and it may not even go down that far. When we think about how the resources sector has been performing, well, Australia continues to power ahead, but it's a broad-based rally. And ResMed was the best performer in here today. I hesitate to say that A2 Milk is a commodity producer, but it's certainly a consumer company. But then there was certainly a spattering of the resources sector in the better performers in here today. And the Australian dollar has been largely ranging for the last while. And I don't think anybody wants to take big bets on currencies a day before the Federal Reserve has their meeting. So the Aussie dollar was a little bit softer in here today because the speculation is that the Federal Reserve will decide that they need to taper further. It's only been a couple of weeks since they decided that they were going to stop or they were going to sell their bond holdings. LQD has been rallying since then, and it's going to be a very slow pace of sales. And I think it would be a significant acceleration of their tapering if they were to announce something tomorrow, when they only announced a couple of weeks ago that they were going to start selling their corporate bonds. So I think it's quite likely that what the Federal Reserve will say is that inflationary pressures might be rising, but there's not really cause for alarm here. And if that's the case, well, then this weakness that we've had in copper is going to be reasonably short-lived, and gold prices are continuing to hold in the region of the trend mean. And this is still a benign environment overall. If all we get is a brief consolidation here in the region of the trend mean, then I think we can still argue that the downtrend from the August peak has been broken and we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The one market that I find particularly interesting at the moment is the S&P 500. We've had incredibly inert trading since the beginning of June, where prices have basically gone nowhere, and the amplitude of trading on the day has been extremely mild. So this is certainly contributing to the VIX index continuing to trend downwards overall. Now we have had a little bit of steadying around the 15 area, but by and large, this is still a downtrend. Of course, the other thing is that it's not going to last indefinitely, and there is obviously the potential that when we have such inert trading, that when we get the breakout, it's going to be extremely violent relative to the size of the intraday moves that we're seeing right now. When we then just simply think about, well, where are we in this trend and how consistent is it overall? Well, the S&P 500 is right in the region of all-time peaks. It is trading approximately 10% above the trend mean, so it could easily pull back into the region of the 200-day moving average. But over the course of the last year, there have been a number of ranges that are one above another. This one is relatively similar sized to those that are underneath it, and as long as it's doing that, well, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But this very small incremental moves, I'm rather cautious about simply concluding that they're just going to continue indefinitely. I think there's the potential for some options trading around that level because people will look at the low volatility and perhaps think that there are some strategies to take advantage of a pop in volatility if we get a breakout. Well, the other thing, of course, that people are worried about is the continued interest in the SPAC, the IPO, and the meme sectors, and they have lost their commonality in many respects. When we think about the continued for I think fervor in the SPAC sector, well, it hasn't been performing. So we've seen a significant migration of interest away from companies within the SPACs and into those that are being favored by meme investors. So BlackBerry, for example, has been one of those companies. So it's been really extraordinarily violent or volatile over the course of this year so far. And AMC has also had these spectacular moves. And of course, this is representative of the vast quantity of money that is floating around the market looking for a home. It's at this looking for a home theme is also evident in private equity, where there is over $1 trillion in dry powder because they just can't find things to invest in that can give them the kind of return that also that they wish and also have a willing seller. When we think about what's been going on in Europe over the last decade, well, there has been very little in the way of bond issuance. I found this to be a particularly interesting chart today. It looks at European Union bond issuance, so on the corporate side, rather than in the sovereign side, and there just wasn't any from about 2008 onwards. It's very low. And now, with projections in the region of, say, 130 billion this year, well, that's nothing compared to the quantity of money raised by corporations in the USA. So we're starting to see the credit market picking up again in Europe. And it's coming off an extraordinarily low ebb. So that suggests that not only do we have the continued support from governments running significant deficits and the federal, excuse me, the ECB running very loose monetary policy, but the credit engine is also starting to kick off now, and that should be generally beneficial for stock markets and also beneficial for the banking sector, which is limping higher when we look at it on this longer term chart. But when we think about it in the short term and think about it on a percentage basis, the price has doubled since October. And that's supportive of this bull market overall. And in a recovery scenario where there's ample liquidity, well, then growth does well, and so do small caps and mid caps, and even large caps. And so the Euro Stoxx Index has clearly broken away from this range with just a very incremental sequence of higher highs. And this is a US dollar chart, so Europe is becoming more attractive from the perspective of US investors, and from domestic investors' perspectives, then we're right back in the region of the peak from 2000. So this is a very significant change. The beginning of a new credit cycle in Europe and the abandonment of the fiscal consolidation mantra, that's been perhaps the biggest positive outcome from the pandemic, that Europe has finally started to provide liquidity to markets and is less constrained on the fiscal side. And the Nikkei is continuing to firm from the region of the trend mean. It was up another almost 300 points in here today. The TOPIX index, which is much more broader based, is also firming. And I think the most important point is that on every other occasion when this index had got back up to test the 1700 to 1800 point level, it failed and made a new low all the way through until 2012, and now we're back on a recovery trajectory, and the TOPIX is looking likely that it will break higher and continue to push on from here. As we think about the global interest rate environment and the potential for growth overall, the Nifty index continues to push on the upside, and it is running significant deficits, and this is stimulative in just the same way as it is everywhere else. Vietnam has also continued to extend the breakout from its very long range. Now, when we think about this trend overall of very significant investments in emerging markets, well, at the moment, India might be running a significant deficit, but we have negative real interest rates right across the board in the emerging markets world. So that's significant. It's also worth highlighting that both Indonesia and Turkey have positive rates, positive real rates right now. But if we have negative real rates, then that's likely to be really stimulative. And if the dollar does eventually then break downwards, well, then it's going to be a floodgate opening for investment in additional or for additional new interest in emerging markets. So the dollar index is right in the region of the lower side of its range. We do need to look at other currencies, and particularly Asian currencies, because if Asian growth picks up, then it will also be beneficial for commodity demand growth. And the Asia dollar index is pausing at the moment in the region of the highs from earlier this year. The Latin America dollar index was in negative territory today, but off its lows overall, still basing, and it's about a 2-year base as we look at this extremely long-term trend of underperformance. So if we see the dollar breaking down and commodities doing better, it should be beneficial for just about everywhere in Latin America. And then obviously if growth in Asia continues to set the pace, well, then that would be beneficial for commodity demand as well. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.